This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2306. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave, between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded July 31st, Brazil, Canada, China, Cuba, Germany, Indonesia, Iran, Korea, Kurdistan, Lithuania, North America, Russia, Spain, UK, USA, on ID 7235, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Radio Voz Missionaria is one of the few active Brazilian shortwave stations anymore, and I think the only private station still active on the 25-meter band. Rudolfi Grimm in Brazil, surveying these stations, found it on 11754.11 kHz. It's normally 11750 or slightly below that, but it's almost 5 kHz higher in this case. This was July 29th at 1518 UT. On July 30th at 0618, I also heard its just barely audible carrier about 11754.46. And then at 2050 UT, Rob Wagner in Australia measured it on 11754.26. I also found their 31-meter band frequency, which is never exactly on, 9664.94, July 30th at 0620. And while we're measuring exact frequencies of Brazilians, Mike Newland in Morgantown, Kentucky says, Radio Inconfidencia Belo Horizonte was on 15189.847, July 24th at 2338. In NRCDX News, John Perkins explains the strange case of CHIN Toronto on 1540, but he says for the second time in its history, CHIN is applied to move to a recently abandoned Toronto area frequency. 900 kHz became available on January 17th when CRTC revoked the license of CHML 900 in Hamilton, Ontario, at the request of the owner. CHIN began as a daytimer in 1966 on 1540. Shortly after it was vacated by CHFI, which moved to 680, and is today's CFTR. CHIN moved to Toronto Island in 1985, at the same time as they began broadcasting at night with 30 kilowatts, with four towers, to create two very tight knolls to protect KXEL 1540 Waterloo, Iowa, and ZNS1 1540 Nassau, Bahamas. The Toronto Island transmitter site was lost to the City of Toronto's planned expansion of its waste and water management infrastructure. CHIN has been operating daytime only with 16 kilowatts on 1540, sharing the CHLO 530 transmitter site west of Toronto in the Halton Hills, using a sloper antenna system. If approved, CHIN 900 will transmit from North York, now part of Toronto, with 425 watts a day, 300 watts at night, non-directional, from a Volcom whip antenna on top of the parking garage adjacent to and owned by the Korean Philadelphia Presbyterian Church. CHIN is the only AM of a co-owned four-station ethnic network. And John Perkins in Edmonton also talks about the Vancouver, BC market. I am hard-pressed to think of a better example of going out with a whisper than the demise on July 14th of Vancouver's beloved 1410, either CFUN or CKMO, depending on what generation of teenagers we were talking about. CKMO was my mother's favorite station as a teen, and CFUN was mine beginning at 9 years old. The end came quietly after CFTE 1410 Vancouver had been off the air for more than 2 years, when its license was revoked on July 14th, effective May 27th, at the request of the current owner, Bell Media. Amanda Dawn Christie's Requiem for Radio about Radio Canada International had some special broadcasts not only via WRMI, but via Issoudun, France, WBCQ, and WWCR. I heard it on 6159.924, which was a WBCQ transmitter, July 26th at midnight UT. There was ambient music, Morse code and numbers in English and later in German, just under the music. If you did not know what was going on, you would wonder what in the world, because no announcements were included, apparently. Another transmission I heard July 26th at 20 UT, when WWCR put its otherwise silent frequency 9980 back on the air for an hour. In the NASA flash sheet, Tony Pavic, NBC, reports China interfering with itself, the same frequency but two different programs. We appreciate that. It helps to alleviate congestion. July 22nd at 1400, 9785 was carrying both CNR8 in Mandarin and CRI in Thai from the Kunming site, with a mixture of both audios. I've been hearing Radio Havana Cuba's new frequency, 13780, almost every day, at various times between 22 and midnight UT, and with good modulation. 13780. In Spanish, also usually on the air, is 15230, but very suppressed and distorted modulation, not in parallel, probably in Portuguese at 2200. By the way, I'm a little late now, but every year I salute the Cuban Revolution with my parody of their favorite slogan, Patria o suerte, pensaremos, which could be loosely translated, Fatherland or Fortune, we'll think about it, i.e., get out of here for a better life. 13780 also seems to be on the air in the morning. I heard July 26th at 1441. The only other usually active frequency is 6000, such as July 27th at 0215. Rather than RHC programming, it sounded like a television drama soundtrack again. Dialogue in Spanish and a music background. Something's always wrong at RHC. Uba non. Mike Cooper forwards a story from the Miami Herald of July 26th. Radio Marti is alive and well and transmitting to Cuba from Miami. Here's how. Oh, note this is labeled as an opinion piece. It's by Alvaro Alva, Deputy Director of the Office of Cuba Broadcasting. He says, we resumed broadcasting to Cuba on shortwave June 27th from the Edward R. Murrow Station in North Carolina on three frequencies. This expanded reach is more than a technical achievement. It is a moral obligation to ensure our signal breaks through censorship barriers. WTFK, he doesn't mention what frequencies, but we know they're 13605 changing to 9565, 11930, and 11860. Weekdays only, roughly 14 to 22 UT. He says, in the face of staffing limitations, we recommitted to our core mission delivering timely, accurate, and uncensored information to the Cuban people. OCB is not just a media organization. It is a lifeline to truth for millions living under authoritarian control. What we achieved in the weeks that followed is a testament to our team's dedication and to the enduring value of public service journalism. Here's how we did it. Through careful analysis of audience patterns and programming needs, we realigned our content schedules to focus on high-impact time blocks. Our review of staff roles allowed us to reassign tasks more efficiently. We adjusted work shifts to ensure full coverage with fewer hands. We relaunched Radio Marti with a dynamic 24-hour format featuring original programming, trusted newscasts, and curated evergreen content. We have done more than resume operations. We have innovated. We launched Asuntos de Estado, Affairs of State in partnership with the U.S. State Department's Media Hub of the Americas. Since the start of fiscal year 2025, OCB has recorded over 622 million video views on Facebook, with 223 million meeting the three-second industry engagement standard, 65% of those views coming from Cuba. Also Cubanon, or Germany for the transmitter site, from the Isle of Music, Uncle Bill Tilford's monthly program for August. It's scheduled on Friday the 8th at 17 UT on 6070 and at 21 on 3955. And another repeat Sunday, August 10th at 17 on 9670, aiming eastward. Indonesia, lots of monitoring of the new frequency for Program 3 of RRI, 7300. Ryan Howard in California says, on July 25th, heard from 0956 UT via remote in Western Australia, with a patriotic song for you, our country, at 10:04 after the news. Same date and time also heard by Zakniangas in Greece via remote in Australia at 0907, and it was still on the air at 13:31 and 15:10, but interference from China jamming Taiwan. But in the clear after 16 and still going at 20 UT. At 0920 on the 26th, it was still on 7330. Ralph Perry in Illinois says, according to Pendengar Setia Radio, AM, FM, and Shortwave de Indonesia, a Facebook group for Indonesian radio listeners, the new station on 7300 and then 7330 is the result of local ham radio operator taking matters into their own hands to provide a shortwave relay of RRI. He says, I suppose they got tired of waiting for the government to do this, and evidently the Nabiri outlet on 7290 variable is not satisfactory for national coverage. It is still on the air and also reported. Ron Hard was hearing 7330 again July 27th from 1000 via remote in West Java. But on July 28th, there was no signal on 7330. On July 28th at 16:39, Zakliangas found yet another frequency change to 7335, avoiding that interference on 7330. Ron Howard was also hearing it on 7335, July 28th at 18:22, via remote in Western Australia. And Matt Francis in New South Wales also reports it on 7335, at 1200 UT. And Zoc found a schedule when it was on 7300 in a Facebook group in Indonesia for 7300 between 10 and 23 UT. And Ron Howard was also hearing it directed out of Silomar State Beach, California, July 30th from 1050 on 7335, but interference after 1055. Ron Howard also reports fascinating developments concerning the Voice of Indonesia on 4755. For a long time, I had been able to differentiate between Channel 1 VOI on 3325 and 4755, that programming, and Channel 2 VOI relayed via WRMI 7780. But recently, the two seem to have merged. July 27th from 1022, heard via remote in Java, 4755 with Indonesia Today, program in English, formerly only heard on 7780 Channel 2, with a young DJ type of format with pop songs, segments about evaluating the USA-Indonesia tariff agreement, and a book review. Ron Nan about the reactivated Radio Farda from the U.S. Richard Langley in New Brunswick says, good signals 24 July at 2030 tune in, and we'll sign off around 2300 on 12035. Off the back from Wolverton, UK. Basically, only music heard during this block, apart from occasional IDs. Later on 9620, which takes over at 23, also Wolverton, similar non-stop music. Is this typical overnight programming? Any news or commentary programs transmitted? Well, it seems to us they do need to spend more time conveying information rather than music. Chris Campbell in Ohio says, I've been monitoring 12035 for a few weeks. Around 2000 it starts coming in, about 10:09, improving till 2200. Different types of music on different days, contemporary to traditional. Random announcements with talk in between songs, but not news-sounding segments. Richard Langley provides this 24-hour schedule for Radio Farda via the Wolverton site. It's 23:04 on 9620, and 19:23 on 12035. The others are via the UAE site, not so well heard over here. 9450 at 17:19, 12035 at 13:17, 13710 at 07:10, and 15720 at 10:13. Oh, and 12035 at 04:07. And by the way, as far as I know, Iran has never bothered to jam Radio Farda. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and giganticertz, World of Radio 2306. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Sebastian Schlüter in Lingen, Germany, who sent a generous contribution via PayPal not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute via check or money order on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Tony Pavick in B.C. says, while broadcasts to North Korea sponsored by South Korea seem to have been curtailed, two others, Revival Broadcasting and National Unity Broadcasting, are still filling the void. I caught both of them with an incredibly good signal. 7340 at 12 UT, July 22nd, National Unity Broadcasting Station via the Danshui, Taiwan site. And July 22nd at 14 UT on 9470, RBS, Revival Broadcasting System via the Baocheng, Taiwan site. However, KBS News, July 25th, via Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener says, the National Intelligence Service confirmed that North Korea has mostly stopped broadcasting jamming signals after it completely halted its broadcast to North Korea this month. The government assessed this as an unexpected corresponding action from North Korea. It has been confirmed that North Korea stopped transmitting jamming signals on 10 frequencies from 10 p.m. local time, July 22nd. However, Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight says on July 28th, jamming appears to be intensified against KBS on 9570 in Korean at 08 to 10 UT when listening via the remote in Daegu, Korea. 15160 at 09 to 10 is also being jammed to a greater extent, as observed in the UK. It seems to me that additional jammers have moved to KBS Hanminjeok Bangsong on 6015 and Voice of Freedom on 5920 as well. So, rather than switching them off and taking advantage of saving precious energy, the spare North Korean jammers have been moved to block the remaining unfriendly broadcasts from the South. Ron Howard agrees KBS on 6015 was always slightly jammed in the past, but on July 28th at 10:40, for the very first time, heard super jamming white noise from North Korea, rendering KBS totally unusable. From KBS World Radio Mailbox on July 11th via Rusty X, from August 4th to September 22nd, KBS World Radio will conduct an annual survey of its listeners to improve quality of broadcasts, conducted online, on our website, and mobile applications. The questions are anonymous, all answers solely for statistical purposes. Some participants, determined by lottery, will be sent souvenirs. The website is world.kbs.co.kr. The Korean radio war concerning jamming might be confused with the Kurdish radio war with Turkey on the same frequency range above 11.5 MHz. The Kurdo-Turkish radio war seemed to have concluded due to a peace accord. Neither station was being heard for a while. However, Rick Barton in Arizona was hearing 11510 July 27th at 1350 with talk and music, presumed to be the Turkish jammer. But Hans-Jürg Biener points out that on 11510 on July 28th at 1340, there was jamming of Radio Free North Korea on 11508.5. Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight reports on July 31st, tuning in at 10:25 this morning, I found Denga Gel on 11525 with the Erdogan jammer on 11510. The Turks are obviously on the ball, having found the clandestine broadcast back on the air so quickly. Reason for the absence may be due to a renegotiation of contract and payment for the relay, which I presume is still from Armenia. Digi's website still lists shortwave frequencies in the 11510 to 11550 range. I say not exactly on the ball. They were 15 kilohertz apart, as is typical. Hans-Jürg Biener says you're right in principle, but it's a cat-and-mouse game. He was hearing them both on 11545, July 31st, at 1310. Tony Rogers reports to the British Citizens Club, thanks to Richard Smilers in Latvia, brings our attention to news published 30 July that Radio Liberty is to return on medium wave via Lithuania. That's 1386 kilohertz. The station says in Russian that the new broadcast times will be 8:30 to 11:30 Moscow time or 05:30 to 8:30 UT. Apparently, for now, BBC will remain in the late evening hours on 1386. But Alexander Myatlikov in Ukraine says, in Eastern Europe, external broadcasting at 5:30 to 8:30 UT is inefficient because of poor propagation on medium wave during the daylight. That's just a waste of money. Radio Liberty used to broadcast via Estonia 1035 at 18 to 19 UT. That would be the best choice, although costlier. 1 hour on 1035 in the evenings is much more efficient than 3 hours into nowhere on 1386 in the daytime. North America, Eric Fetterswalp in Washington State says, at 0235 UT July 27th, Psycho Radio was down on 5145 in the AM mode with a couple of Ozzy Osbourne songs until 0246, not within the usual 43-meter pirate band. And another one, Radio El Dorado, a European pirate, was being received well in the U.S. on 14470 USB, starting at 2345 July 26th. Not sure if it was using a relay or not. Hans-Jürg Biener in Germany has been hearing Russian military songs on 6250 USB. July 17th at 2210 and the 28th at 2005. Richard Langley in New Brunswick says on WRMI 15770, 26 July at 2130, there was a program in Russian identifying as Voice of Russia, a nostalgic Mayak retro transmission, mostly music. Alexander Myatlikov explains, the program is done by a Russian radio enthusiast, Andrei Molokov. Also, WRMI has resumed relaying the Radio Panorama DX show in Russian in July after a 9-month break. It's at 20 to 2030 UT, Mondays on 7730. Spain's Token English broadcast at 22 UT, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, had been fairly reliable lately, but on July 28th and 30th, the frequency for North America was off the air, 15500. Fortunately, the South American frequency might still put in a good signal on 17715. Radio Love Warbler Shortwave was a special broadcast at 19 to 20 UT, July 26th via Wolverton, UK on 7350, well heard via remotes. It was really pleasant listening. From Alan Pennington via Alan Rowe, it's a project by British-Finnish artist Hanna Tuulikki. What if a bird could remix its own love song? Warbler Remix brings this idea to life through the marsh warbler, a clever migrating bird that copies and blends the songs it hears on its journey. And more broadcasts of this are scheduled on different frequencies and target areas at 19 UT. The next one is 9 August on 9500. Full details at www.creativefolkstone.org.uk. That's F-O-L-K-E-S-T-O-N-E. Tony Pavick in BC was hearing a FEMA contact in the U.S. in ALE, but some voice IDs, WGY908 in Denver and WGY948 in Bismarck, North Dakota, on 9445 USB, July 30th at 1500. One more detail about the late George Jacobs we did not have last week, according to the Michigan ARE tip sheet. When he died on the 2nd of July, he was 2 weeks short of 101 years old. And another passing of note, the DX author Jerry Dexter died on July 28th, says Ralph Perry. One of a kind, the ultimate old-school QSL-driven DXer, with limitless energy to send out follow-up reports and tune new DX targets. He was a columnist for Popular Communications and wrote some books. Jerry L. Dexter, from Wisconsin. That is Jerry with a G. Press about the Voice of America situation via David Cole and Mike Cooper, AP, on July 30th. Headline, Judge Orders Trump Administration to Explain Why Order to Restore Voice of America Was Not Followed. U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth of D.C. gave the administration until August 13th to explain how it will get VOA working again. Another one from BloombergLaw.com via Mike Cooper, July 30th. Judge says U.S. is slow-walking effort to restore Voice of America. And from New York Times, July 30th, judge excoriates Trump officials for violations of laws on Voice of America. The judge says Trump officials appear to be violating numerous statutory provisions and have been providing misleading and contradictory information. World of Radio has a new time on WRMI, UT Wednesday at midnight 30 on 9395. That's on the antenna aimed north-northwest. But the previous broadcast, 1 hour earlier, Tuesday at 23:30 on the same, is no longer heard. You also have four chances to hear World of Radio on WRMI, Sunday afternoons into the evenings, at 21 UT on 15770, at 23 on new 9395, at 23:30 on 9455, and at midnight 30 UT Monday on 7780. It seems that WMLK in Pennsylvania has been missing quite a bit from its scheduled times and frequencies, such as 15150, not heard July 27th. That's supposed to be on the air from 12 to 17. 23-04 on 9275. The other broadcast on 17525, between 1730 and 2230, I think, has been absent for some months. Some FCC news about AM stations and NRC DX news. A construction permit has been received from KKOB 770 Albuquerque. For U2, that means non-directional day, directional at night, 50 kilowatts day, 5 kilowatts night, from a new site co-located with KTBL 1050 and KOAZ 1510. You'll recall that one of its towers got knocked down again by a balloon in the North Valley. KGOW 1560 near Houston has a temporary authorization for 15 kilowatts day and night, with its night pattern 24 hours. Chris M. on the Gold Coast of Australia reports about KCTA 1030, the 50 kilowatt daytimer in Corpus Christi, Texas. It's coming on at 0827 these days. The carrier comes on, and a wild start. That means no intro, header, or ID. Just away it goes. He says, I've been hearing it for the last few days. 0830 UT. That's well before sunrise in Texas, and it's even before sunrise in Boston, which it might have been protecting 1030, which is currently around 0930. KLEY, the little 1130 station in southern Kansas, which blocks KWKH Shreveport here because it stays on the air all night, scheduled for 1 watt, but actually running its daytime power, no doubt, of 250 watts. However, as of July 31st, it's been missing both night and day. Nehemiah Cooper, here's a Washington Post story of July 25th. Public broadcasting games out a future without federal funding. Stations have massive holes to plug. Who will step up? An intriguing NID carrier I've been getting night after night between 06 and 07 UT on 7235. It seems to be a broadcaster rather than a ham, but nothing is listed. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued July 28th. Geomagnetic field expected to be active to G1 minor storm levels on August 4th, 7th to 14th, and 18th to 22nd. ANK indices peaking at 25 and 5, August 9th, 11th, and 19th. No lower than 12 and 4 from August 7th through 14th. Polar flux rising from 135 August 1st to peaks of 160, August 8th to 11th, and 13th and 14th. Down to 135 by August 23rd. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, hoping you'll hear me again next week, Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2306 with a standard disclaimer.